Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Slam Fire Radio.
Welcome back. What? They left and then came back? Welcome back. Welcome
back,
guys. We just came back from our commercial break.
They come back every week for more punishment.
Oh yes, that is true.
So we're going to punish you all throughout episode 20 with more incoherent ramblings and rantings. So
and 100% less Owen.
And 100% more Trevor. See how this works?
Did you hear that? Did you hear that? That was the collective clicking of mouses as they closed the window.
You see how, Doc Wesson and Mark Vandenberg are supposed to be the same person? Well, the really acute and astute, I think is the word I wanted to use there. The astute listeners, word of the day, listeners, they caught on to the fact that Owen and I have never been in the same place. I was at the charity shoot. He was not. Right? So maybe, no, this isn't going anywhere fast because we've been on the same episode before. But
yeah. Maybe you just changed your voice. I don't know. But basically, what we've done here is successfully tossed this show right off the rails, right from the get-go.
You started it. I was trying to go through a nice professional intro, and you interrupted me. I didn't even get through the intro.
You didn't.
Interrupted.
Yep. Welcome back, Trevor.
Oh, man. And actually, didn't you tell somebody to shut up last week?
Did I?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like me.
No, it sounded exactly like you. Maybe
there was only Owen on last week, so I wouldn't have told Owen to shut up. That doesn't sound right.
Just you and Owen, huh?
Wasn't it?
There was the conquistador.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about him.
Oh, my God. Oh, he's very forgettable.
He's not. I'm meeting up with him not tomorrow, the day after.
Yeah, and that's why you're not coming to help me move. Thanks, by the way.
No problem, Bolivar. Thank you, by the way.
I actually had to stop in the middle of moving to record a podcast.
Yeah, sounds good. Priorities, man.
It's good to be back. Yep. I figured it out. I'm going to sound like a bragging here, and that's because I am, because I love myself. Since April, I've been to Calgary, Toronto, Montreal, Halifax, Vancouver, and then Halifax again.
That's a lot of traveling.
I pushed the envelope of the vacation right up until the very night before I had to go back to work.
Yep.
It was crazy. I flew home from Vancouver. I flew to Moncton from Vancouver, I got in at like 2 in the morning, spent the day hanging out with Matt Lorette, then went to Moe's place for the bonfire, which was better than Slan Fire. I watched Sales try to burn down Moe's backyard. It was awesome.
That's always fun.
And then we stayed there Friday night, and the next morning we hit the road for the provincials, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. So anyway, let's move forward. Back on the rails. This was supposed to be the CCW episode, and we apologize, but for very important reasons, we've had to put it off till next week. The guest that we had lined up had to back out, unfortunately, at the last minute for personal reasons, so that's all cool. Hopefully, he can join us next week. We'll know before we're ready to record the show, and if he's unable to join us, then we'll try and line up another American host. So that means you, the listener, still have time to send us some listener feedback. So what we're looking for here is, if you could carry, would you, and what kind of considerations would you go through before you would make the decision to carry or not? Would you consult friends and family? Would you consult a lawyer? Would you get training? What kind of training? Or would you just put a gun on and go? So what would you do if you were ready? If they flip the switch tomorrow and we had CCW, would you? And what would you do to get ready for it? So we still have time for some of that if you're so inclined. Moving into McClatchy.
Yo.
Did you do anything this week in guns? And actually, I'm going to interrupt you. Last
I haven't even started yet. Well, now last, interrupt me.
Yeah, last week, you said you were going to get into what this new job was, and then you guys got squirreling all over the place and never told the listeners about your new job. Is that something you want to get into?
Oh, we can. I
want to just briefly, you know, it's uber cool, man.
It's not that cool.
It's cool. If you don't know how uncool it is, everybody's going to assume it's cool unless you tell them different.
That's right. If you don't know any better, I guess it could be cool.
So,
but I know better now.
Well, yeah, now they're all going to know better too. So, unless you've been living in a cave on the dark side of the moon, you've heard of Google Earth. And Matthew, you work for Google Earth.
No, Google Street View.
It's close enough, man. Close enough. Same images, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I drive the Google car. So I drive around in this car that's plastered with decals that looks like a Google Maps picture, basically.
And it's got the Hubble telescope on the roof?
It's got the Hubble telescope on the roof, and it spins around and takes pictures of pretty much everything.
So you're legally spying on people?
Legally, yes. So I am...
Big Brother.
Big Brother. It is me.
Awesome. It's ironic. About a month before you got the job, I photographed that car in the town of Dalhousie.
It's funny. I picked the car up from across from Chris Kingston's house.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Right where I took the picture of it.
That's right. So.
That's funny.
Yeah. No. It's a neat little car, and it's a Chaz. No. It's you know, I drive around and the computer does pretty much everything, and I just drive around and.
It seems like the perfect job for you.
I was kind of irritated when I first picked up the car because I didn't see a auxiliary in port to plug in my MP3 player to listen to podcasts. And I was like, this is terrible. This is like horrible, beyond horrible. I'm in the car 8 hours a day and I can't even listen to podcasts. Well, I found it finally the other day. It's in the center console. Like you lift up the armrest and it's in there. It's the weirdest spot for it, but there it is. So I'm good now.
Awesome. Yeah. So you're finally getting no more excuses. You're finally getting caught up on all kinds of podcasts.
I haven't started yet because I just found the auxiliary port the other day. I'm finishing off my stack of CDs that I had in the car. So,
oh,
but I will be. I will be catching up on everything that's cool.
So is that your excuse for why you didn't do anything in guns or what?
That and the 5-quart of wood that I cut, split, and stacked since Saturday. So. Of course, most guys are going, yeah, whoop-de-doo, I do that in a day. Well, I mean, I was also driving the car all over God's great country, so it took up my evenings. But anyway, yeah, no, I haven't done really anything with guns. In fact, that part that came in for the AR last week is still in its original packaging, sitting on my bench here, and it has not even looked
now,
at my AR.
For those that didn't hear last week's episode, that would be the 9mm conversion mag or bolt latch?
Yeah, the 9mm bolt catch. So AR-15s can come in 9mm, and when they do, you usually use Glock mags, I understand, or something similar. It's a pistol magazine anyway, and they shoot 9mm.
Yeah, it's funny because your comment last week was, well, this is a fairly common problem in ARs, and a lot of people solve it by doing this. I'm like, I never heard of that before. What are you talking about?
Well, when I looked online, that's what I saw numerous posts on various
forums. Oh, you read it
forms.
On the internet?
Well, yes.
Must be true then.
Definitely true.
Right, like everything we're saying is true because it's on the internet.
That's true. We are the internet.
Right,
no,
right.
Wait.
Once we send this to the internet, it automatically all becomes like law.
That's right. It's like the, yeah.
It's inscribed in internet stone.
But yeah, anyway, it's basically just a, it looks like your standard AR bolt catch, except it has a longer finger out the front to catch the back of the mag to stop the bolt. So all I got to do is file that down to...
More filing.
Yeah, more filing.
You know
this,
what
this
you...
gun, I'm going to be the file master by the time I'm done this gun.
You know, and just so that the listeners don't think that you're bashing on the free AR they built.
Oh, I'm not. Uh-uh.
The one part that's failed this whole build is...
The part that I bought.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the part that I bought. It is my fault.
That's funny.
Nobody else's fault but mine. Yeah, no, every single thing so far is because that lower receiver just is not set up the way it should be, I guess. So... Anyhow, I'm not going to say who they are because I don't want to give them any bad press. So,
right? Can I say who they are?
Yeah, I don't care.
They're not like a sponsor or anything, right?
No.
Did you ever contact them to say, "Hey, you sent me a"? No, you didn't. You just went to work
I did
on
not.
It.
Yeah,
yeah. I should have just sent it back. Just like Owen should send back his NEA. Like, oh my God, you guys are. you guys are suffering from the air gremlins. Like, I haven't shot this new one yet, but
You haven't had any problems with any of yours.
My upper and my lower on my NEA are uber tight. The STI is an STI. What else can you say?
Yeah.
And yeah, and this new one we'll talk about in a little while here.
Yeah. Well, that was pretty much all I did this week, was drive around in a funky-looking car, getting the finger from people and other people smiling and waving.
That's funny. People give you the Google finger?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, and I got flagged down and told to delete the files that I had, or else he was going to sue Google.
Nice.
And I basically laughed and drove away.
Did you give him Google's information?
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you can just email Google at google.ca.
Yeah, forward all lawsuits to my butt.
at gmail.com.
Right. Oh, man. That's funny.
Yeah.
So anyway. Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah, I guess.
Awesome.
So what did you do, Trevor? You have a long list of things, so I'm just going to wander off for a bit.
No, I'm
kidding. I'll try to be interactive as best I can.
Well, it actually started...
That's really cool. Oh, sorry. I jumped ahead there.
Oh, man. Edit yourself out for me, okay? It actually started before I went to Vancouver. Something worth mentioning. I wasn't going to put in... I had it in. I took it out, but because we're not doing the CCW thing tonight, we got room for a little extra. What did Trevor do this week? We were at the range, myself, Pierre-Luc, his brother, and Remy, and we were doing some shooting, and I wanted to run the bus with my AR because that's going to be one of the three-gun stages at our three-gun match on October 19th. You're all invited. So I get into the I'm running the bus with the AR. It's really cool. There's the back door. You know, you kick the back door down, and it opens, right? I get into the bus with the AR. First shot I take, the concussion from inside the bus knocks the door down.
Nice.
Yeah, that was awesome. Anyway, that's not the cool part of the story. Remember the tent that was a cut down RV portable garage that you would park a full size RV in there, one of the $100,000 long jobbies that's basically a bus turned into a motorhome?
Sure.
It was between the tank stage and the bus stage.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah. Yes, I remember that.
So the wind was really strong that day when we arrived, so much so that a small little vendor's tent, kind of like the $100 job you get at Walmart that has the collapsible metal frame that folds out and you put the tarp over top.
Uh-huh.
There was one there that belonged to Yamaha, and that thing was blowing around in the wind. So that's how strong the wind was. So the frame was already ruined when we got to it. We took it apart, we put it down, and the wind just kept blowing and blowing and blowing and stronger and stronger. And anyway, Pierre-Luc and a couple of the guys are over just in the bus bay, and they're shooting at the berm. And I'm over in the tank stage picking up brass. And I hear the tarp on top of the old converted Winnebago garage that we used for shelter there. I hear the tarp on that starting to flap really bad in the wind. Just as I turn around, the wind picks that whole thing up and proceeds to drop it on Pierre-Luc's car.
Oh!
Picture a portable garage large enough for a Winnebago falling on a Mazda.
That's funny to me.
Yeah, it was funny to all of us except for him. He lost it. Oh, my God. He lost his mind.
Did it do much damage?
Oh, yeah. It destroyed the windshield. It scratched every bit of it, both sides. Cracked a mirror. Cracked a bumper. Scratched up the hood. I mean, it just... There's so much damage. Anyway.
That sucks.
It sucked bad. Knocked all the guns off the safety table. My NEA hit the dirt and boxes of ammo on the ground. Like it was horrible. Anyway, it was not a happy place to be. So then I left for Vancouver. So yeah, one last vacation. We went out to Vancouver on vacation, and I absolutely loved that city. And I had my own gun tour guide. Huge shout out to Jordan Lawrence. Jordan Lawrence drove down. He's a 556 medic, the guy who left last week's iTunes review.
Yep.
He drove down from Squamish to North Vancouver. It's cool. He's a paramedic in North Vancouver, but lives about 40 minutes on the Sea to Sky Highway between Vancouver and Whistler up in Squamish. I said right. That five times now.
Say it again.
No. He came down to get me and took me on a tour of all the best Vancouver gun shops. So we hit Reliable, where I picked up my Leupold Mark Air Mod 1. scope for the STI. We hit one that I'd never even heard of before, Italian Sporting Goods. This place was really cool. I think that one's Jordan's preferred. I got the business card from these guys. They were awesome. You get buzzed in, and then you're like in between two doors, like in an airlock, and they get a look at you, and if they like the way you look, they buzz you into the next door.
Right.
So they're in the best part of town, as you can well imagine.
I can, yeah, totally tell that. Yeah,
bars on the windows and everything. And then we went to DS Tactical, where I bought my first pair of 511 pants. They are awesome. That's all I got, really. I got the scope and the covers from Reliable and the pants from DS Tactical. Couldn't get a mount for it anywhere, so I actually stole the mount off of my XCR. It's a prep mount or from Burris. I think it's Prep, P-R-E-P, something like that. Prepper. Anyway, you know the mount I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
All right. So it's the Burris Air style skull mount.
Right.
And it was not a quick detach. It was with bolts. Now, I'm not going to run backups on my STI. So I ordered one.
Yeah, it's a competition gun. You don't need your backups for that. I mean, you're not going to have that in war.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, that being said, the XCR does have backups. So I ordered the quick detach, same mount, but in quick detach to go on the XCR.
Mm-hmm.
So that one will, you know, yeah, it's got the backup. So I'll have the quick detach on that one, the other one on my STI. And anyway, while I was there, Jordan took me to a range in or around Squamish, and it was a fairly nice range, a couple of buildings and stuff like that, a couple of different ranges, archery and everything. The only issue is it was pretty close to the city, so they had a rule of no rapid fire, and it quite literally said one round per second. So
wow, that sucks.
Yeah,
no double taps.
Yeah, so we brought his Norc S, his Norc AR, and his 30-06 Remington 700, and we did some shooting with that. He's a much better shot with that rifle than I am. I couldn't. My group was twice the size of his group easily. And I did. He's also using the Norc ammo like the rest of us, because why wouldn't you, really?
Right.
Real nice AR. He's got some Magpul furniture on it and stuff. And it's the first time I ever got my hands on a Norc AR closely. He allowed me to rip it apart. It's on the outside, the fit and finish is pretty much any mil-spec, you know, AR.
Yeah.
On the inside was classic Norc craftsmanship.
Yeah.
I've had the Norc 1911 apart, and they pump them out fast, and they don't do any finishing work on the inside. Rough cuts, right?
Yep.
The AR was very much the same. As a matter of fact, getting the bolt apart was a challenge, because the key that goes into the through the bolt carrier into the bolt where the I think it's called a cam and your firing pin goes through there.
Okay.
That actually had to be like pried out with a knife, because the tolerances weren't quite right. The gun ran. I mean, without a hiccup, and Brian Bolivar will tell you that too. He's never had an issue with his Norc. And I've never known anyone who's had Norc who had an issue with it. But they're just a little rough. But you get what you pay for. What you're getting is an AR that runs.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Norcs, you know, for all their flaws and their fit and finish, you're right. They may have those issues, but the guns generally run just fine. I've owned several Norincos. And aside from the abomination of the 780,
yeah,
everything was fantastic.
Yeah, and the issue with the 780 was I didn't find the fit and finish horrific. I mean, it was horrific, I guess. Yeah, you're right. It was kind of bad.
The finish wasn't bad, but the fit was horrible. Nothing fit together properly. Everything was out of spec and it kept falling apart.
Mine fit together great, and I was able to replace quite a bit of the internals with actual Remington parts. But the reason those internals needed to be replaced was because the material they were made out of was horrible. Remember, I was shooting mine with Jason McIntyre one day, and I started shooting before he got his eyes on, and the bolt carrier failed, and the bolt slammed to the back of receiver, and debris came out the ejection port.
Yep, I remember that.
Yeah, that was not good. So anyway, but the coolest thing about Jordan's a prepper. Like, Owen would be really proud of this guy. He brought me to his gun room, gun vault, gun safe. I guess it's a gun room, but it's a gun vault at the same time.
Right.
There's nothing in it but guns, but it's big enough to be a room, but it's also filled with kit. Like bug out bags, medical bags. I mean, the guy works in the medical profession, right? So he's got bug out bags that are ready to go. He spends a lot of time in the bush, climbing mountains and stuff like that. So really, really cool dude. And I spent some time in his reloading room, gave him some tips on how to refine a few processes. And I've got a piece of gear that I'm going to mail out to him. And just an awesome guy.
Very good.
Yeah, big thanks for taking me shooting while I was out there on vacation. Twice I went on vacation with my wife. Twice people took me shooting. That's how cool our listeners are, kids. So other than that, I sold some guns so I could buy some guns. And the 6A6 is gone. The GSG 1911 is gone. And the 590A1 arrived. Now, the 590A1 I'm not 100% sold on yet. I guess it's just the fit and finish and the action and the trigger all seem kind of rough. I know you love your Mossberg. This is my first Mossberg. So far, I could definitely see how it's easier to load. It will take.
And when you're considering three gun, when you have to always reload, that is actually like a big part of choosing your gun.
It is, but I hope I can shoot it as fast as my 870.
You'll be able to once we get that speed pump set up.
Yeah, which is disappointing that we have to modify it to make it a speed pump, but it is what it is. The trigger is horrific and the action is rough, but you know, I said it on Facebook. I've got like my 870 is like 10 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm undecided what I'm going to do, if I'm going to keep the 870 or sell the 870, but I know that the Black Hawk furniture that's on it is going to go up for sale, and I'm going to put a Magpul stock on it. So, yeah. Cool. Then I went to, when I got home from Vancouver, I went to the IPSC Nova Scotia Provincials. Now, this was a hell of a match. I finished fifth place in standard, and I was a lot happier with my performance than I was at Nationals. I forced myself to slow down and start to get my hits. I just wasn't watching my front sight at Nationals, and I beat myself up mentally at Nationals. My mental game was not where it needed to be. I wasn't resetting after every stage. I was carrying the negative from one stage to the next and repeating that negative performance because that's what I was focusing on and not what I was doing right. And this, I almost fell back in that same mental trap at the provincials, but I got out of it pretty quick. Two things about Nova Scotia provincials, and then we'll move on. One,
okay.
The new Nova Scotia CFO is
cool.
It's beyond cool. I don't know how else to say it. I'm just going to say it. This is going to make Nova Scotia, Quebec and Ontario so freaking jealous. The CFO for the province of Nova Scotia is on the Nova Scotia production team. He's an IPSC shooter, and he shoots so well that he's a member of the production team and actually competed at the Nationals. How do you like that, folks?
That is cool.
A CFO that is not only a gun owner, he's an IPSC competitor.
Yeah, I mean, that's got to bode well for Nova Scotia.
We all need to move to Nova Scotia.
Well, I don't know. Their hunting laws are not as friendly as they are in New Brunswick.
Yeah, no spring bear. But anyway. So one other highlight of the match was I picked up my STI. But they had a stage called the Jungle Run. It was called the Rumble in the Jungle. This was a course of fire that was a trail through the woods, and I mean a rough trail. You had to watch what you were doing so you didn't trip over roots or anything. You started on a fault line, and then you're running through the woods shooting at IPSC targets, and some of them were so hard to find that we did two walkthroughs to make sure that we counted all the targets. There was 30 paper targets and two steel poppers, and it was best single shot per, so you had to shoot each target only one time. Shoot them as many times as you want, but they only scored your best hit. And several of us missed a target. And I don't mean shot at it missed. I mean we didn't see it. It happened to me, happened to Jason, happened to half my squad. Over half my squad missed a target. And I knew I had missed it because my round count didn't come out right. I should have been reloading at slide lock, and I wasn't. So anyway, as soon as I was done, I was like, I feel like I missed a target. But anyway, I haven't done anything like that since paintball. It's the coolest stage I've ever shot anywhere in any match. You're running through the woods, shooting at targets hidden around trees and bushes and stuff. It was phenomenal. So, so since I brought home my STI, I set up my new belt, my new IPSC rig, and everything's gone totally to the other end of the spectrum. I went from a Glock to an STI. I went from a Sierra speed belt to a double alpha belt, from a Ghost holster, or from a Sierra holster and Sierra speed pouches, to a Ghost holster and Ghost pouches. And the Ghost holster, at first, when you look at it, if you're not used to, if you're shooting a Sierra speed holster, and you look at guys with a Ghost holster, you wonder how they don't continually drop their gun, and it's a little scary until you actually try it. It's I think, a much faster holster. That being said, my draw time isn't as fast right now as it was with the Sierra Speed, but it's going to get faster than it ever was with the Sierra Speed with a bit more practice. So I've been doing a lot of dry fire because I am going to compete with this for every match from now on. So I'm drawing the gun and I'm doing mag changes with the gun, and yeah. So a lot of fun. I also am doing another big change. I used to shoot Canadian BDX bullets. Now I'm shooting Campro bullets. I also am shooting tight group powder and CCI primers, all stuff that's completely new to me. So I made some test loads, and I got out to the range yesterday and shot my my Eagle, and found a load that would give me the proper power factor. So 4.8 grains of tight group gives you a power factor of 173, in case anybody's curious. And then today, the upper for my AR came in. So the only thing left to do now is tighten down the barrel and install the gas tube. And that third AR is ready to go.
So why aren't you done that yet?
Because I was busy moving, remember?
What? That's boring.
I know.
Fix your AR.
I would have. Truth is, I would have. I absolutely would have put off moving. But our friend who helped put your barrel on,
right?
He wasn't available for me to go over.
Oh, that guy. That guy's a cool guy. I like him.
Yeah. So it's sitting right next to me, actually. I mean, I've got it with me. And that's the other thing. Huge shout out to New Brunswick CFO's office. I forgot to tell him I was moving, right?
Right.
I call them up. I call them so often that Courtney down there knows the sound of my voice. Hey, Trevor, what's up? What's new? Well, it's not much. Courtney, how you doing, right? So our CFO's office can be pretty cool, too. So, like, I'm a dough head. I forgot to tell you before I went to Vancouver that I was moving when I got back. She's like, I'm all caught up on my ATTs. I'll have that to you right away. Boom. A couple hours later, through the fax machine.
Beauty.
ATTs to take all my guns to the new place. So, yep.
Very good. That's awesome.
And thanks to the guys at Radio Velocité for turning me on to Student of the Gun. I'm starting at episode one, and I'm going through the whole thing. And he's a former cop and an author, and good podcast. Check it out, Student of the Gun.
Student of the Gun. I will check it out.
Cool. And cool. T-shirts. No new orders have come in weeks. Maybe that's because the people that did order them before the charity shoot, who haven't got them yet, have been like, telling people, don't order. Furlot will not send them to you. But he will send them to you as soon as he's done the move. Back up a little bit. The AR that I built is a stag lower from Arms East and a stag upper from Arms East. And it there's zero play.
Good. That's zero. Always nice.
Yeah, that's why, you know, if you're going to build an AR, folks, I'm a match firm believer. Match them, yeah.
Yeah.
Match them. And it's not like my NEA. When I first got it, was so tight you had to pound out the pins. Now you don't anymore because they've been worked in a little bit. It's still uber tight. And this one, you don't have to pound out the pins, but it's still uber tight.
Locks up nice, eh?
Yeah, good. It sure does. It's fantastic.
Fantastic.
So it's supposed to be for sale, but I don't know. It'll probably be for sale.
Probably. We'll see.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
That's it.
All right, then.
How long did that take?
That took half an hour.
I'm slacking. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't 45 minutes.
I'll try to do more next week.
Yeah, sure. Go for it. We're just going to, it's just me and Owen next week, though.
Where am I?
It doesn't matter. I kid. It's nice having you back.
You don't mean it, but that's fine.
At least I say it, right?
Yeah, exactly. You sounded sincere and everything. I just had a little micro seizure. Sorry.
No problem. Speaking of micro seizures, why don't we read this first micro email? We're just gonna jump right into emails, answer the questions, expand on whatever we can, and then just kind of move on. So,
no, these aren't our CCW emails. These are the other ones.
No, these are the other ones. We had a couple that weren't kind of pertaining to CCW. So all the CCW emails are in the notes, ready to go for next week when we get our guest back.
So you're going to start with Roberts? Or
I'll read Glock Time, the first one here.
And I'll read Roberts.
Sure. So this one comes to us from Rob, and he writes, "Hi, gents. I'm making the upgrade from the evil Norinco 1911 Commander to a Glock 22. I think I'll be happy with it. I always hear Trevor in the back of my mind saying, a striker-fired pistol is the way to go. So if it sucks, I'm blaming Trevor. I've held one at SFRC, but never fired one. It's in the mail and should be arriving tomorrow. Keep up the great work on the podcast. I'm still on episode 15, but we'll catch up on the drive back and forth from work. Thanks from Rob," and he signs off, "Molin Labe."
You did it wrong. You're supposed to say you should have did that one last, because that's our topic, striker fire versus hammer fired.
Well, there we go. Well, let's talk about it.
And then we'll read one and then just sign off the show?
Sure, why not?
Where's the flow? We're known for our fluidity.
No, we're not.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry, I'm dyslexic. I get things backwards sometimes. All right. And actually, both of our emails come from somebody named Rob. That's funny.
That is kind of funny.
Okay. You want to go first? What do you got to say about this? See, you were a hammer-fired guy.
And then I was?
You started your IPSC career with a hammer-fired pistol.
I did, but that wasn't intentional.
Well, you can thank the guy who sent it to you anyway.
I certainly can. That would be Dallas Turner. Sent me his pistol, his CZ SP01 Shadow.
CZ75 SP01 Shadow.
Okay. But yeah, he sent me his gun for me to try IPSC out with, and it was a cool gun, let me tell you. But now, let's talk about real quick. Now, see, here's the thing. Rob's going from a 1911 to a Glock, not from... Just a traditional hammer fired to a Glock, because
1911 is not a traditional.
Well, I guess. Yeah. Sorry, I'm thinking like double action, single action, like a Coretta, like the CZ, like you know, the whole slew of other pistols that are out there, the double action, single action.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, he's going hammer to striker. You went hammer to striker, and I went striker to hammer.
Yeah. Now I went double action, single action to striker, and that was why. Because the first shot being double action threw me. I could not get used to it.
There's a big difference there between a double action hammer fired and a single action hammer fired.
Yeah. Now, what you're going to find, Rob, from the 1911, even the Norinco 1911, that the Glock is going to have a bit of a heavier trigger. It's definitely going to be spongy for you, and it's not going to feel anything like the 1911. 1911s are single action. They're just single stage. You just pull it, a nice crisp break, and bang goes the gun. Your Glock, you're going to have to pull up the pre-travel. And now, yes, there's a bunch of stuff you can do, put in aftermarket parts and clean that all up, but then you don't really have a Glock anymore, and it breaks every other time you go to the range, right, Trevor?
That's not true. That's not true at all.
But here's the thing. I think you're going to like the Glock. 40 cal over 45, you're probably not going to notice a whole lot of difference. 40 is less snappy, but the Glock is lighter too, so that's probably going to make up the difference. You're probably going to feel the same sort of recoil, I would say.
I was just going to say the same thing. The recoil between these two firearms is going to be so similar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the Glock is going to be a better shooting pistol.
Now, he didn't mention this. I wonder how reliable his 1911 was.
Well, it all depends on how he treated it, right?
Yeah, I guess, right? You're gonna find with your Glock, you don't have to field strip it and clean it every time you come home. In fact, if you do that once a year, it's probably enough.
Yeah, which is literally when I ran my Glock 35 in competition. Once a year, really, before the biggest match. Like, I'd clean it maybe once in the winter and then once before a big match. That was it.
They just continue to work, and there's lots of nooks and crannies for crap to build up in, and it just doesn't interfere with anything. It just sits there and waits for you to clean it out.
Was dirty when I bought it. How dirty, how many rounds, I don't know, but I've already had to clean it to solve an issue with one mag that the slide would not lock open on one particular. Actually,
and that was just because your gun was dirty.
Yeah, it was a couple of mags. Sorry, when it was just one mag, I thought it was the mag. Yeah. But when it wouldn't lock open on a couple of mags, and then I worked on the mags and tried to change the – I checked all the springs, make sure they were in the right orientation, all the followers, same orientation.
But what it came down to was a dirty gun, right?
That's what it came down to, yeah. So. Yeah, are you good? Can I go at this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, Rob, my Glock 22 I love – and actually, Matthew was talking about the spongy trigger. I have a Gen 3 RTF 2, and the trigger is what sold me on it. It was the nicest factory trigger that I've factory Glock trigger that I've experienced.
But I'm going to interject here and say that even the nicest Glock trigger is probably not as nice as a Norinco 1911 trigger. It's going to be hard. I mean, first of all, you're going to a plastic
trigger.
It's going to
be heavier.
So you're going to have sponge.
Some 1911s have plastic triggers, but see, the Glock trigger pivots. The Glock trigger pivots on a pin. So if you squeeze it from the bottom, it's going to give you a different feel than if you squeeze it from the top.
Whereas
so the
1911 is a sliding trigger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It always comes straight back into the grip. You can't roll it one way or the other, right? So that's part of why the 1911 trigger has a better feel than the Glock trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Just the nature of the beast, the design. But, you know, triggers aside, the Glock 22, you're very, very much going to enjoy. It's going to be cheaper to feed, which is going to mean you're going to shoot it more often.
Especially if you go and get one of those 9mm conversion barrels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you can get your hands on a Lone Wolf 40-9 conversion barrel.
All you do is change the barrel. That's it. Yeah. No. And if you want to change mags, if you want, but you don't have to, the 40 mags will feed 9.
Exactly. And you know, get some specific 40 caliber mags that you're going to tune the feed lips on for 9, and then fill them up with 11 or 12 rounds, and it's perfectly legal.
Yep. That'll be cool.
Yeah. So
no, the Glock's a good gun. I mean, I don't own one, but that's no reason to say it's not a good gun. It is a good gun, and I think you'll be happy with it. And it's just going to work for you, man.
Mm-hmm.
So what I want you to do now
is
when you get it, take it to the range, put a couple hundred rounds through it, and then write back and let us know what you think of it. And
yeah, I want you
compare
I want to hear the
and
words.
Contrast it to the 1911.
Yeah, I want to hear the words, Trevor was right, because I never hear them at home. And I never hear
and
them.
And I certainly never tell you
that's
that.
That's right. I never hear them from Owen.
Well, maybe if you'd be right once in a while, you could hear them.
Well, maybe this will be the first time. Awesome. All right. I'll take the next one then from Robert.
Yeah, go nuts.
And he says, hey, guys, just wanted to ask two quick questions. Firstly, I've been trying out a few pistols in anticipation of receiving my RPAL. The one I seem to do best with is the PX4 Storm, but I don't believe that I've ever heard anyone talking about one.
There's a reason for that.
Would it suffice for IPSC?
So let's stop right there, and we'll go on to the rest of it later.
Okay.
So the PX4 Storm, some guys really do like them. I don't know why.
I've known one person who shot it in IPSC, and that was Mike Partridge, and he shot it for maybe an entire season, and now he shoots a Glock 17.
Mm. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Chris Anderson has a PX4 Storm.
He does. He shot it at the charity shoot.
Yes. And he likes his PX4. He really likes it. I've shot it. I shot it not this last year's, but the one before. Well, two before, I guess. The last one in Ontario, I shot his then. And, you know, it's not an uncomfortable pistol. Its ergonomics are actually okay. But it is... I don't really know how to explain it, except that Beretta just wanted something more futuristic than the 92. I don't know what they were doing with it.
Well, everybody has to have a polymer pistol,
I guess. I mean, right. And they just kind of threw their hat in the ring and said, hey, we got one too, but it's not even a striker fired. It's still a hammer fired.
Still hammer fired. Still, it's
double
got
action, single action.
Yeah. It's got the decocker.
Yep. So here's the thing with IPSC. If you're going to run this, you're probably going to be running it in production. Technically you could run it in standard minor if you wanted to. Do they come in 40?
PX4 Storm in 40? I'll Google it.
You Google it while I keep talking. If it comes in 40, you could shoot it in standard. And if you were in standard, you could then carry it cocked and locked if it does actually go on safe while the hammer's...
That would be such a bad decision.
It would be.
You know, it'd However, be like shooting a 96 in production, right?
Yeah.
Production guns are open guns without a competent optic. Yeah. Not sorry, standard guns. Standard guns are like an open gun without a competent optic. So
that's
if you
right.
buy
they
a
are,
gun that you can't tune, you're going to be at a disadvantage.
And you're not going to be able to tune the PX4 because it's just nobody shoots them. There's no aftermarket parts for them. So if you shoot it in IPSC, your first shot is going to be double action every single time. So what I want you to do is go to the range and try it again because I think you were saying you were trying them out. So go try it again, load it up, decock it, and then try to do double taps, double action and then single action, and see how you do. If you can pull that off and get good speed on those, then maybe the gun is for you. Mm-hmm. If not, you're going to want to look into something that has the same trigger pull from shot to shot. You don't want a double action, single action. I say that knowing that many people shoot CZs that are double action, single action.
Well, yeah, the CZ 75 SP01 Shadow is the most popular production gun in the world.
That's right. And people do very well with them. It is a learning curve, though.
Matt Lorette's got a little secret that I didn't know about. You can put a factory part in there, the disconnector from an older CZ, and it cuts down the pre-travel in half.
Oh, yeah. But that doesn't help Robert here with his PX4 Storm, does it?
Well, but if he doesn't want a PX4 Storm and still wants a double action, single action, little tip.
That's true. But then again, I don't know why anybody would really want a double action, single action. It's a problem, or it's an answer to a problem that never existed.
Well, for IPSC...
Seriously, why? Why would you... Well, here's the reason why. Because once you're done your first shot, the rest of your shots are like half a pound.
That's right. That's why. You go through, yeah, you suffer true. Through that first one, and so does everybody else in your category. Yeah. All the top shooters
that's
in
true.
Production are shooting a double action, single action.
That's true, and that is why. Because you get the fantastic trigger pull after that first shot.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, there's no... I don't want to be that guy who started... Yeah, man, but there's... I don't know anybody who's won an IPSC World Championship with a Glock 17.
Yeah, that's true.
Or even a Glock 34 in USPSA. But Dave
okay,
Savigny.
So let me... So rewind this thing and ignore the last 5 minutes of commentary and work on getting a really good double-action trigger pull out of that and then fly off with the single action, and it would actually be a good gun for IPSC. As long as it's reliable,
and
as long as it fits your hand properly... And as long as you can get the double action trigger pull down.
Yeah. And try some other guns before you buy something, if at all possible.
Yeah.
Because just because it feels good in your, like, back
well,
to the
Well, hey,
last
no, that's actually a big part of it. If it fits your hand properly, that's going to help you
that's
shoot
not what
a
I was going to say, though.
Doesn't if matter. I'm interrupting you anyway.
If you're standing at the counter and it feels good in your hand, that's one thing. But can you shoot it?
Well, that's the thing. He says here he's been trying out pistols in anticipation. I think he's going and renting these pistols and shooting them.
No, I'm talking about the last guy who bought the Glock 22. It felt good in his hand, but I don't think he shot it.
Oh, the other Rob.
Yeah, so.
Right.
All right, cool. So there you go. Would it suffice for IPSC? It will if you can shoot it well.
That's right. Yep. Now, cool. Finding a holster for it might be difficult.
Yeah, Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike's nylon.
Next part. He says, secondly, I'm working on a report for school and decided to do it on how woeful uneducated people are on guns and how their treatment contravenes common sense.
See, that was a fantastic sentence and you just completely butchered it.
Which, well, you know what?
All those big, beautiful words could have flown together flowed together. Look at that, flown
kiss
together.
The butcher's butt. I have heard lots of stats thrown out on the CRR network and was wondering where you got them from. Well, Robert, there's... all kinds of different places. It depends on what stat you're looking for.
There's one spot, Robert.
All right. Gunfacts.com.
Yeah. No.
No?
No. You want the real facts. You don't want the stuff that's been twisted by either side. Whenever quote stats, they doesn't come from a pro-gun site. It doesn't come in from an anti-gun site. I go to where they get their stats from and twist them. So I go get the stats in the same spot, and I just don't twist them. I let the stats speak for themselves. Stats can FBI.gc.ca is a fantastic spot for Canadian statistics, and FBI.org, I believe, is where I get all of my American stats on their crime rates, because the FBI keeps track of all that stuff.
Yeah,
it's stats right from the government.
It's a great point that you make, Matthew. Get it from a third party, unbiased. Don't
that's
you know,
right. I mean, it's fantastic to go to what you just said there, gunstats.com or whatever it is, because all those stats are like, yay, you know, angels are singing and trumpets are going off because all these stats are just blowing smoke up our butts.
Yeah.
But that's all they're doing. They're taking the stats. And yes, the stats are on our side to begin with, but they're making them even more on our side.
Exactly. And if you're going to do a report for school, Robert, you're going to want to cite the most credible source you can. So if you cite the Canadian government and the FBI, then, you know, your teacher, your prof can't really argue against that and say, well, you know, don't go to the NRA's website if you want an absolutely unbiased kind of report. If you're arguing pro-gun and your only source that you cite is the NRA,
they're going to go, well, of course.
Yeah. I had an actual debate with my father-in-law while I was in Vancouver about mag capacity, and big shout out to my wife who said, you just should have told him, if I have 30 rounds in my mag, I don't have to change them as often. That's the reason why.
Mag capacity laws are dumb because I don't want to change my mags.
Exactly.
It has nothing to do with criminal intent. I mean,
The
bad guys get the 30-round mags regardless.
Well, he started in about, you know, American society has gone crazy. It's gone crazy. I'm like, So I quoted a stat. And he assumed that I got it from the NRA or whatever. I'm like, no, go look it up yourself. It comes from the FBI's website.
Yep.
And that's what I did that for. I did it for that very reason, to pick a third party, an unbiased party, right? Not somebody that's pro-gun, not somebody that's anti-gun.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So what else we got?
That is it.
That's it.
Now we roll on to telling people to go review us on iTunes if they want, and if they do, we'll talk about it on the show if it's funny.
Okay.
And then you've got some shout outs, it sounds like, and then that's the show.
Yep. So to Jordan and Vancouver, obviously, right? I already gave him his shout out. And then I was rescued at the airport. I flew from Vancouver to Toronto and was in Toronto from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 10 o'clock at night. And Samir came to pick me up. He's from the Toronto area, obviously, president of the Peel Archery Club, on the board of directors for IPSC Ontario, shot at the Nationals, uber cool guy, a listener. He said, you're IPSC family, so how can I not come rescue you? I could have hugged him, but he brought me to the Peel Archery Club, set me up with a beautiful Hoyt bow. Like Brian said, I give it 3 weeks and Trevor will have another bow. Not quite, but let me tell you, if I was getting back into target archery, the Hoyt that he put in my hand would be the one for sure. And then we got to meet. We went out to a pub. My buddy Jeremy that came out to see me at the charity shoot, he came to join us at the pub. And then Cigar Buff came to the pub. No wonder dude needs a size triple XL shirt. He's like 6'5". He's a monster.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a monster. Yeah, he come into the – like he stepped through the door and it was like an eclipse, right? There was no sun coming into the bar. It was awesome. So, he got a little lost. He went to the archery club instead of the pub, but that's cool. That's fine. And so he came out and, got to meet him in person. And we sat around, had a beer, and talked guns and politics and crap. And it's a good time. So big shout out to those guys. Thanks for making sure I didn't have to spend like 7 hours doing nothing at the airport.
That always sucks.
Yep.
Cool.
And Samir is invited to stay with me next year for the SummerSlam.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, he can't swing the 3-gun, but he's definitely – I told him, if you want to fly, fly. I'll go pick you up at the airport. You want to drive, drive, whatever. But, you know, we've got 4 bedrooms in the new house, so lots of room for shooters.
Very good.
And
I like it.
And the other shout-outs we'll save for the CCW.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Oh, I haven't looked up the latest stats, so skip the first note there, go to the second, and then come back to the first when I put in the right numbers.
No idea what you're talking about. Oh, lead host sign-off. Cue the notes, right? All right, so like us on Facebook.
Well, that's the one I wanted you to miss.
Oh,
I didn't have the current numbers.
Current stats.
Okay, so our current stats are we have 159.
We're at 159.
Yeah. And so the library has Houston Library. I can't spell library. Apparently, yet? They have 257.
So they're still.
So
that
we're
much
gaining
market.
On them, though. We're only 98 behind them. Last week we were 100 behind them. So now we're only 98. So we're getting there.
Libraries. Yeah. Only library needs a gun library.
Yeah. Cool. All right, finish this off then.
Bang. Oh, not like that. Okay. It's like Newfie calls 911, says, my hunting partner just got shot. Says, he dead? I don't know. The operator says, well, go make sure. Next thing you hear, bang. Yep, he's dead. Be sure to check out all the other great shows on both networks that we're a part of. You know the good networks because we're on them.
That's right.
The Canadian Reload Radio Network. That's our Canadian presence. And because we're uber cool, we have a U.S. presence on the Crusader Podcast Network. Tons of great material on each of those shows. Little something for everybody. So go check them out. And make sure you like their shows on Facebook too, but only after you like ours.
That's right. Us first, then them.
Yes. Very good. And very good. Other than that, I'm Ron Burgundy and take someone shooting.
You snuck it in there anyway.
So if you have any comments or questions for the show, please send an email to slamfireradio@gmail.com. Now go grab a gun and shoot something. When the talking is over, it's
time to get a gun. One.
You were just there. Are you in the camp? Hello? Maybe I'll just wait, because maybe you're in the bathroom. That happened the other day when I called a call, and you didn't answer it, and then you called me back because you were in Boston. So maybe I'll do the nice thing, and I'll just wait on the line for you to finish doing what you're doing, so you don't have to call me back. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to take the higher road here and be a gentleman. So I could just leave a message and make you call me, and I know you don't like to do stuff, so I figure this way, I just hang out on your answer machine. You only have to go phone once rather than check the machine, and then call me back. See, this is why I'm a better friend to you than you are to me, because I have to consider it like that. I go out of my way trying to accommodate your style of living, which is to do it a little bit possible. So, yeah. Are you done yet? No? I will now. No? No, still nothing, huh? Well, maybe I'll tell you why I'm calling, and then when you answer the phone, I'll find another reason to talk to you. Freaking price of ammo went up. Stupid Canadians are stupid bullet buying. Creating a market. Sucks. Anyway, the bulk ammo, universal, 100 rounds, went from $28 a 100 to $31 a 100. Gone from the Walmart prices, now what the Canadian tire price used to be. Not pressed. And I don't know what you usually pay for 555, and I don't even know what I paid for it today, but I'm just going to say it went up anyway, just because I'm on the go button moment, right? So, I'm going to keep it going. Hey, I just go by Jason Burton cells. I shot a rock. So, anyway, it's not working. Holy, another detour? What the hell is going on with Campbellton? They're like 6th Street, and they're working on 4 of them. So that means that I'm going to end up talking even longer, because, and I almost just got sideswiped by a Mustang because I didn't see it coming. So, now people are looking at me because I spun my tires. They drove by 3 houses that we looked at that we almost bought. 4. There's the 4th one. There's another rock. Hello? I don't even know if this thing's still recording. Alright, I give up. I tried to be there. I tried to be supportive. I tried to have you not have to do a little extra. And still you let me down. Awful. You're a jerk.
2:08 a.m. Saturday. End of messages.